Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
All right. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. My name is Yam Sufari. I, along with Kaitreya, my brother and friend from New York City, are here to share in our studies with you. It's ironic that some of us, not scientists, take scientists, for instance. Scientists, they study, and do more study, and then they do refreshers. But the saddest thing about some of us, we think we can study the word of Yah, and we ain't got to study no. We become experts. That's rather ironic, isn't it? But we can talk about everybody else. But even though we don't realize, our kings had to be consistent students of the word of Yah, along with the Levites, the high priests, had to be consistent students of the Most High Word. And when they wasn't consistent students and did refresher courses, they neglected their relationship with Yah, the importance of the relationship with Yah. And so it's all about relationship, people. But be that as it may, one must be consistent in their studies. As you know, if you've been with us in our studies, you realize that we are going back over our studies in the book of Ezra, the prophet Ezra. That's after we complete our studies in 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, and throughout the rest of the book, we will continue our studies and go on and on and on and do refresher courses, because it's imperative that you do these studies in order to understand the dynamics of the relationships and the codification in the perimeters and guidelines. You could act within that framework, and also they would apply to one another. You see, some of us, because of lack of study, think that we can treat each other any old messy, old tacky old way. No, that doesn't work. That's codification. That's perimeters. That's guidelines in order to treat one another. Nothing is left to chance, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't study that. And also that would apply to different nations, how one must comport himself with different nations, nations that want to have a relationship with you. Unfortunately, all nations don't want to have a relationship with you, and you must understand that. And you must back off of them, because they certainly will back off of you. But before Cartier and I get started in our studies today, again, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People Show. You know, I like to make comments about ongoing subject matters. As you know, you don't know this, but Cartrell and Abiyak called me this weekend. They were concerned about my safety because they thought that the hurricane was veering west toward Memphis, Tennessee, which in fact, all praises to the Most High, it veered east away from Memphis. And, you know, we got a little residual rain and perhaps a little bit of rain, but it's not going to be all that much of nothing. So I want to thank them for calling me out of their concern for me. And that's what brothers and sisters do. They express themselves, their concern for one another. Unlike some of us today, we don't express any concern for one another because we don't understand the dynamics of relationships with one another. And we're totally confused about every day. It's true. But Ida, Hurricane Ida, I want to thank Yah for this, as far as Hurricane Ida is concerned. I want to praise and bless his holy name, that not too many deaths are being reported, not like Katrina. And Ida was on the same scale as Katrina. A lot of damage has been done, a lot of flooding, not a whole lot of deaths like Katrina. So all praises to Yah in that regard. And and as far as national news is concerned, that's about all I have to say about national news. Internationally, a lot of you are not aware of this. That's because you don't study anything. You're not cognizant of anything, unfortunately. It's ironic that you say you know everything, but you don't study anything, and you're not aware of anything. The Chinese are getting a foothold in so-called Africa. And a lot of countries in Africa are selling the resources to the Chinese for billions of dollars. You know, most African countries don't have safety nets for the people. And so what that ends up, a lot of these despot leaders and their sycophants are simply pocketing the money. And the Chinese over there, they are riding roughshod over the people, and sometimes they kill them and get away with it. But if it was like anybody like you or me, or looked anything like remotely like you and me, they'd bury us under the jail. You better believe it. And so in Zimbabwe, Ghana, and so on and so forth, the Chinese are getting a foothold in Africa too, and they have some very prejudicial people. They want to be universal white race supremacists too. They're not. They want to be, but they're not. And so by virtue of that, they want to put their foot on people too. So pray for the motherland. Pray for the brothers and sisters in the motherland that they throw the feet of the Chinese off of their necks, because they're trying to get a foothold on them in the so-called motherland. One more thing I want to talk about, Chinese, okay, yes, today is the last day for America to be in Afghanistan. The last flight took out today. They left a lot of material, but the last flight took off today. They said about 250 so-called Americans, maybe as visa holders, were left behind. They couldn't get them. So I think the Taliban got plans for them. So, but, you know, I just don't understand it. I mean, if you knew that the Taliban was going to be after you, you know, what you hanging around for? What you staying around? You know them people don't pray. You know, why are you going to try to get to the airport first quarter? Why are you trying to wait to the end? And, you know, America can be, you know, quite like Chucky. Hidey hi, hidey ho. Yeah, I'm your friend. And this is the end, my friend. I'm telling you. Because that's the Vietnamese. Yes. That's Nagasaki. Japan. You know, they dropped a bomb on me and asked us. Anybody that looks anything remotely like me, asked us. We can tell you about the friendship America exercised toward its so-called friends, the very people who have fought in every one of their wars have been a friend, far more of a friend to them than they have been to us. They fought in every and died in every one of their wars, and we are back to so-called trying to get a vote. Marching and protesting, just simply begging, to be honest about it. Man, come on, somehow to tell you something somewhere. I mean, after 402 years in counting, somehow to tell you something, it ought to dawn on you. I don't care how many times you pray. I don't care how many times you march. I don't care how many times you protest. I don't care how many times you talk about your life matter. It don't matter to them. And they're going to put you right back at square one. Right back at square one. Hell no, I'm not marching, protesting, or none of that. They can keep their damn vote, okay? Only thing I'm going to do is pray to my Elohim, Yah. That he get me the hell out of Harlem as soon as possible. I know what America does. I know the love that, a lack of, that is shown us. And if they really wanted to give us something, we'd have it. We'd be back, right back at stage one. We ain't going to never get to stage 10 because they're going to keep pushing us back to stage one. Here we go marching and protesting all over again for 1965 Voting Rights Act. And see, some of y'all don't learn anything about anything. That's how run it. Thing about it, you don't study anything. You don't study history of anything. You certainly don't study your own history. And you don't study world history. And you certainly don't study religious history. Because if you studied religious history, you wouldn't want to be a Christian in the first place. Because you would know all so-called Christian religions are derivatives from the Catholic Church. And these were some bad motherfuckers. They the one told Christopher Columbus and the rest of them hyenas, yeah, go out, take over the world, enslave them. If they don't go along with the program, kill them. They're animals just like the Godfather. Just like the God. They ain't nothing but animals. Give it to the niggers. They ain't nothing but animals. Go out there and go enslave. Take their gold. They don't want to be a Christian. Kill them. And all religions are derivative of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther nailed on the Roman Catholic door, which brought about Lutheranism. Martin Luther. And every other so-called Christian church are derivative of the beast. But see, if you don't study anything, you won't know anything. It's true. Well, let us get started then. Well, before we get started, let me bring my dear brother and friend, who I'm very thankful. Again, thank you, Cartrell and Avia, for checking up on Soup, as Gregory called me. You know, Greg, I saw pictures of Gregory going to school today. He was fresh, too. Some lady said, oh, them girls going, no, they ain't about to go there. Because look, Gregory, no, he got rules. He got codification. He got perimeters and guidelines. And Soup ain't having it. Okay? Gregory ain't no player. Okay? He ain't looking at these little hot tail girls. He looking at them hot books. Okay? And he love y'all. He ain't got time for that. All right? All right. Okay. Cadrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my dear brother and friend. I appreciate that. May he bless your family also, along with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
So, Gregory, going to school today, huh? That's a good thing.
He was fresh. The boy was fresh. Ooh-wee. I said, look at Greg. That's what he's fresh. had his hair cut. You know, his hair long. He had it cut. Looked like a little Absalom. He got a little Absalom. He was fresh.
Well, you know that little Greg is going to be a good student if he listens to us and learn from us.
Exactly. Yeah, he was fresh. Hold on. I'm going to tell you how fresh he was. I'm going to bring Abby on. I know she's about to be bad. She'll be all right. Abby, I made the Most High. Bless you. Shalom. Your mic is hot. Will you tell Cartrell about little Gregory? He was fresh. Abby, is your mic on? You got your mic on? Okay. You there?
Shalom, long time, I can't talk right this. I'm listening.
Hey, okay. Shalom, Abia. Most I bless you.
May bless y'all too. I'm just listening. I can't talk right now. My hands is in something.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Shalom. Go ahead, Katriel.
Yeah, you was talking about the Americans that are left in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
You want that? You wonder why did they get to the airport?
Right.
It's called addiction.
Mm-hmm. Addiction?
Addiction to the poppy plant and the opioids.
Oh!
America get ready to go cold turkey, bro.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that, Cartrell. I never thought about that. They ain't going to leave that dope. A dope person on dope ain't going to leave that pack, man. Okay? Who said that?
Because life depends on it.
Bro, you could be shooting at them. The police, they not going to lead in that. I never thought about the car. You're a smart fella, man. I never thought about that.
It's called addiction. The pharmaceutical, stay addicted. Whether it be pharmaceutical or the black market, they need that opium, that opioid. You know what the Taliban said?
What's that, brother?
They said we're not growing it no more and we ain't selling it no more.
We better shut her down. It's going to be a whole addicts hurt, man. Okay?
Cold turkey, bro.
Yeah, a whole lot of addicts going to be hurt.
But that's the righteous move. People are being destroyed from the opioids, right?
Right.
And they don't want to be...
I don't know what made me thought about a fruit salad when you said that. You know, I like fruit salad. And changing the subject a little bit, I know you're going to get back to it. But you got all the time you want because we got a little rather short chapter. You know what I fix in my fruit salad, Cartrell? I put grapes, sour cream, mandarin orange, walnuts, them little cherries, them red cherries in the thing, red cherries. Okay, what else I put? Okay, I used to put marshmallows until I found out what they were made of, gelatin poke. Okay, I don't do the marshmallows no more. And some coconut, shredded coconut. I make that. And sometimes I eat it in the morning when I get up. Then sometimes I eat it for dinner when I go to sleep, a fruit salad. You ever ate that, Cartrell?
No.
Yeah, it's good. It's healthy for you. It's healthy. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Cartrell.
Fruit salad. I hear you.
It's good. It's healthy for you. Sour cream, walnuts, grapes, them manischewitz cherries, whatever name they call them, mandarin oranges, and chipped walnuts and shredded coconut, and you mix it all up, and you put it in the fridge overnight. Ooh-wee, the next morning, make you want to slap your mama, but don't do it. You know, mama break you up. Go ahead, Cartrell.
I know Ida breaking a lot of stuff up, and it seemed like it corrected the bugs that you were having in your studio because you sound loud and clear. You sound the best you sounded in a long time. So Ida must have did some.
Praise Yah. Praise Yah, Cartrell. I'm glad. But Cartrell, go back to the part that you were saying before I rudely interrupted you about the addiction and the opioids and stuff. I think you need to expound upon that for the listeners.
I don't know how many countries in the world grow poppy plants. The opioid, you know,
right?
The poppy plant, it grows in Afghanistan, I think one other country. But we know that the United States, over the last 20 years, have seen an upshoot in addiction in what they call suburbia, middle-class America, opioids. These dudes is robbing drugstores for the opioids. And if they can't get the prescription opioids, they turn to heroin.
Okay.
Because the black market is cheaper than the oxycondons and the Percocets and all those other opioidic drugs. But the Taliban put America on notice. No more opioids for y'all.
But you know what, Cartrell?
Cold turkey.
Cartrell, how long do you think that's going to last?
I don't know, man.
The way the economy is set up, I don't think it's going to last. I think the Taliban may be complicit because of the fact the infusion of dollars and foreign dollars and Russia trying to get in there now. Russia trying to go back. And you know what they after, the very same thing America's after, those poppies. So they're not going to let them lay down. Okay.
Well, I don't think the Taliban is interested in Western money or Western ideology or Western technology or any of that.
Exactly.
So I agree with you. And then, so far,
go ahead, Cartrell.
So far as Africa is concerned, and our people who have fought in every war that America's been in, and we still begging, we have to come to the realization, Yom Suf. We the richest people on the planet. Africa is the richest land.
Exactly.
And we being here in America have made America great.
Exactly.
One day we're going to figure it out.
Yep. And we need to very quickly because we're going back. And you know what, Cartrell, the fellow students, you know what the definition of insanity is according to Alcoholics Anonymous? And I definitely was there to take an expert advice. Doing the very same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And basically, as far as these marches and protesters and voters are concerned. It's the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Insanity, delusional. Go ahead, Katria.
So, situation with rent, we're the richest people on the planet, right? But we're getting robbed. And we ask these people to rob us to give us a portion so we could be good. Africa is the richest continent on the planet, yet the people are poor. They call them third world.
How
is that possible? There's no other continent that has the resources that Africa got, and the people are poor?
Something ain't right,
like here in America.
Something ain't right.
We make America great with our culture, our music, and we begging for votes and begging for civil rights and we begging for economic rights. That made no sense to me.
No,
we need to take hold of who we are and do for self. We always say it, but we never do it. We always try to integrate, but we're not really trying to integrate with us or share their wealth with us. So you should have learned our lesson by now. Charity begins at home.
Exactly.
Let's start at home, get ourselves together, and if we can help anybody else, we will.
Exactly. If they're willing to listen, Well, what do you think about Ida, Hurricane Ida, Katria?
Well, anything of that magnitude comes from Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that all of New Orleans has no power, a million people without power, the whole power grid is underwater and went into the Mississippi River. They got a lot of work to do. It ain't over for them. As fast and as deep as it was, the Most High's winds, the Most High's rain, the Most High's flooding shows that he's way more powerful than anything that man could do. When y'all come through, you got to get out the way. So,
And Cartrell and fellow students, the hurricane season ain't even over with. Who said something don't come right behind it?
Yeah, and then you talk about fire season out west.
Exactly.
That's just beginning. And they've been burning for like 2-3 months now. It's not even fire season.
Tornado, fire season, tornado season, tornado alley.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. You know, they call it Mother Nature, but it shows the power of the Most High.
Exactly.
You trust in the power of the Most High, you ain't got a problem. And he'll go, you know, contrary to you, which is what he's doing, you know, the wicked. They all this in this pandemic, COVID-19, and y'all disrupts everything. What y'all going to do now? But I sent through a hurricane and tore up your houses, your shelters. Talking about brick buildings coming down and power lines coming down in the midst of a pandemic. Oh, now what y'all going to do?
Now they got to bunk up together. They got to get together now because I know according to Red Cross, I think Red Cross were taking about 25% of people out of their shelter when they shelter people because of COVID-19. And now, if there are any hotels available, I think the Red Cross, what they do is they put them in hotels. We've done it in Mississippi when we had a tornado or something down there, and we had to end up putting people in hotels because of COVID-19. And so that's going to be much, they're going to take those FEMA trailers down there, and that's going to be a whole lot of money. And like I said, fellow students in Cartrell, the hurricane season, y'all ain't over with yet, because you can get a hurricane, you can get a tropical depression starting up right now as we speak, headed right back to the same locale. So, you know, I would suggest that people get themselves right with Yah first and foremost and pray, because we pray for those people that not too many deaths would occur, because we know a lot of brothers and sisters are in that region of this country, in Louisiana. And so I'm thankful for that. And it showed that even though this hurricane was just as devastating as Katrina, it didn't bring about a lot of deaths that it could have brought about, all thanks to the Most High and heeding our prayer for the safety of our brothers and sisters in Louisiana.
Yeah, just like the earthquake in Haiti was worse than the first one. First time, they lost hundreds of thousands. We thank
right.
the Most High that he didn't take as many out this time. And
exactly.
our prayers still go out for our brothers and sisters down there. Because nobody's paying attention to them right now, except their own people.
I'm glad you brought that up, Katya, because I neglected to mention them when I was talking about international subject matters for us Caribbeans. And I'm glad you brought it up, that we still should be cognizant of them, what is going on with them, still offer prayers to the Most High for them. And if you are financially going to help them, I suggest do not do NGOs. If you know somebody from Haiti, or you know a family from Haiti, you sponsor a family, or maybe you should sponsor a family from Haiti, because the last time around, the NGOs stole a lot of money from the Haitians, from our brothers and sisters in Haiti. And while, as I said, I'm being sarcastic about it, while our brothers and sisters were eating pork and beans, they were eating steak and taters, living high on the hog. And a lot of that money come up missing, a lot of money. I'm talking about big millions of dollars, and which would have kept, had the Haitians, which would have improved the infrastructure of the housing and so on and so forth. And so, yes, keep that in mind also. And I'm glad, again, Katya, for you bringing up our brothers and sisters in Haiti.
Yeah, yeah. And, I'm listening to the family, and our people will be on the verge of being desperate. They don't want to take the vaccine at, you know, the threat of losing their job, and they feel that their civil rights and human rights are being violated. The Most High is putting pressure on our people, and we're prepared. You know, we need to visit the website, yahwillgather.us. If you need an exemption letter, you can get it on the website. You must sign the urgent notice and become a part of the nation building process, because we are a nation and we must come together. But if we don't do it by our own heart and our own will, the Most High is going to gather us together like he said he would.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you wouldn't know that, Cartier, if you didn't study on a consistent basis, a very consistent basis. One time around is not sufficient.
Nope.
And as I said, alluding to the fact, far as scientists are concerned, they study and study and more study, and they do refresher courses. Unlike some of us, we read it. We don't. I'm not even talking about studying. We read it, and we think we're experts at it. Just simply, we read it one time. That's not going to make it. It's not going to cut the mustard. Our kings had to be persistent, and they had to be studious in the studies of the word of the Most High, because he held them accountable, as he holds all of us accountable for what we know, don't know, for lack of study.
It's like the difference between high school and college.
Exactly. Exactly.
College is a whole different arena than high school. You have
yeah.
to read like a book or more per class a week. Not just read it, but take the contents out of it. And yeah, that's why everybody don't go to college, because you have to study. You just can't read or look at the movie or have a conversation. You have
right.
to study strap.
You had to put in work.
Huh?
You had to put in work.
A lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, some degrees don't come easy.
And I agree with you, Katya. You know, in high school was a different environment. And it teaches much more. They more so made you do this. Whereas college, you have to make yourself do it. You know, the teachers, the professors in college, not going to make you do anything. You can come to class every day and fail. They're not going to make you do anything. You should have the initiative on your own in college. You should have the desire on your own in college. quite unlike high school.
And that's what happens. In high school, the high school teachers need for their students to graduate so they get credit for being a good teacher. So
right.
They pretty much give them the answers when it comes to SATs and, you know, all those tests they have to take in order to get in college. When you get in college, trust me, son, you're on your own. And if you just read through a book and you didn't study it, the teacher gonna know you read it, but you didn't study it.
Cadre, you can stay in your dorm. You can stay in your room. They don't come and get you.
Nope.
You can stay in your
dorm. Don't show up for class. They're not calling your mother and father that you didn't show up for class.
They may or may not say something to you.
They're
going
to say something to you. You fought your felon, and you better get your grades up or you get kicked out. That's what they're going to send to you.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, you know, evaluations.
Right.
And if you ain't cutting the marks on, they're kicking you out.
Yeah, you gotta have some initiative, Cartier. And it certainly applies to the Real Talk for Real People study show. You gotta have some initiative. Cartier and I, we're not gonna call you. We're not gonna say you have a failing grade. We may suggest that if you don't study, yes, obviously you're going to have a failing grade. Cartrell and I, we're not going to call you. We're not going to run behind you. If you come on the show, then you disappear, that's all on you. You can't say Cartrell and Young Sue was not there, was not present to study along with you. And you can only say you didn't take no initiative, take advantage of the situation. You didn't take any initiative. You had no initiative. And you had no follow through, and you consider Cartrell and Yumsu dinosaurs. So that's on you. Well,
Cartrell.
Yes. I think Abby, I want to say, hold that comment. I think Abby, I had something to say. Abby, I may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high, Shalom.
Yes, Shalom, brothers. And I hope and pray that I'm not failing because I'm steady on this show. And I'm getting all the good information I could get out of it and keep going over it because I still need more. Like they say, y'all's not finished with me yet. So I'm still be here listening. Oh,
yeah.
And now as far as Gregory, that boy better keep his head straight because his mama don't play either. She's something like... She's something like Country Elf Mama. She's a sergeant.
Sergeant Mom.
He's a sergeant, all right.
I love my Sergeant Mom.
Yeah. He was fresh, Abby. But like I said, that made Brianna laugh. I said, little homie, no, Soup ain't having that, okay?
That's right.
Put his mind on the wrong thing. He need to keep his mind on the right thing, okay?
Bree said, she ain't having that. Like I said, she better not, because he got the answer to Bree, and she got the answer to me, and his grandpa, something going down. So he got Sergeant Mom and lieutenants and everybody on him.
Yeah, she knows she'll hear from Cartrell, she'll hear from me, okay?
That's right. So we know that he's listening, he's paying attention to the words, and he knows what's wrong, he's learning. So he'll keep it together. So you brothers carry on, and you got this family hook on y'all, so we not leaving.
No, we don't have it. We don't have y'all hook. Y'all has y'all hooked.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
We just moved y'all to the water.
Yeah.
The fountain of living water.
That's
how.
And we all thirsty. And always going to be thirsty.
Yeah.
Exactly. Amen.
The land is parched. The people are dry.
That's right. So carry on, brothers, and shalom. May y'all bless you.
Thank you, Abby.
You as well, your family.
May the Most High bless you. Contrail, now finish up your on what you were just saying.
When I went to college, the way we study it now, the scripture, the books of the prophets, the books of Moses, the judges, guess what? We would have to find out about the Ammonites. We'd have to read books about the Moabites. We'd have to read books about the Edomites. We'd have to find out about Shishak and the kings of Babylon through other sources.
And that's why I said, we did a familiarization the first go around. We did a when we go back around this time, it's going to be rather in-depth. So we need a familiarization in order for the students to get familiarized with our studies. But this next go around, it's going to be rather intense.
The first cycle was pretty good because we get an understanding. We went with the prophets, and they were talking about how we not obeying Yah, we following other nations, and this and that was going to happen to us. We're going to get scattered, and Yah's wrath is going to be poured out. We're going to be slaves, and we read that through the prophets, how they were trying to correct the kings. Mm-hmm. And we got very personal with the kings, each and every one of them.
Right.
To see what was on their mind and what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't show the interaction with the prophets. So now when we go back to the prophets, we begin to see the interaction that they had with these kings and how they're trying to give them the checks and balances to be back in line with Yah. For the sake of our nation. For the sake of all of our people. Because these leaders have impact on all of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
All right. Well, Contrail, if you're done with your commentary, I'm done with mine, and we'll get to our studies, okay?
Sir.
Okay. May the Most High bless us, and thank you, Contrail. Chapter 27 of Second Chronicles. Now, Jonathan was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. Now, in his relationship, he did what was pleasing to the Elohim, just as his father, Uzziah, King Uzziah had done. But he did not enter the temple of the Elohim. And he didn't go to the temple. I find it rather odd. However, he didn't enter the temple of Yah in the way that his father did.
What was his father doing?
His father tried to light incense.
What was wrong with him?
And so I see what he said. He did not enter the temple of the Elohim, not in the way that his father had did.
And he saw the face of his father, whose face was leprous, so probably scared the hell out of him.
Exactly. So he wasn't going to try Yah. However, the people still acted corruptly. It was he who built the upper gate of the house of the Elohim. He also built extensively on the wall of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Yehuda. And in the woods, he built fortresses and towers. Moreover, he fought with the king of the Ammonites and overcame them. The Ammonites gave him that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and another 10,000 cores of barley. That is what the Ammonites paid him. And likewise, in the second and third year, King Jotham was strong. Why? Why was he strong? Because he maintained, and we always say you have to maintain, establish and maintain a faithful course before the Elohim, Yah, his Elohim. The other events of King Jotham's reign and all of his battles and his conduct are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and Yehuda. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. King Jotham slept with his fathers. and was buried in the city of Dawid, King Dawid. And his son Ahaz succeeded him. We're going to end right there. As I said, this chapter is going to be rather short. And we're going to stay right there. I'm not rushing anything. As I said, we are getting the best of the last and taking our time at it because we're going right back around. So, Cartrell, what's your opinion or your comments?
Just another king that did right by Yah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he didn't live that long. 16 years is not a long time.
He didn't live long at all.
But I love these kings because if I was a carpenter in ancient times, they would have kept me busy with all this building
right.
and construction and repairing.
They certainly would have kept you busy.
Yeah. So it's a trade that will always be around, along with masonry. It's like we see the destruction with Ida and Katrina. You need carpenters. You need construction workers. And it's
right.
a noble trade that they, like, played down. But it was an honorable trade in ancient times. So it's lost some of its gleam. But we can see by example that the Most High, if these kings studied and honored Yah, they were well protected. They were well respected by the nations that surrounded them. Because we've been fighting with the Ammonites, calling me a Numbnites.
Mm-hmm.
For years, they were our enemies. Now they're giving tribute to a king. Yeah, they're giving tribute to a king because they see that Yah is with them. So people can see when the Most High is with us.
Right.
And when he's not. And you can't make it.
No. Yeah, people can see, as Cartrell said, when he's with you or when he's not. You can't fake the punk. It's true. Well, Cartrell, have you done with your commentaries?
Short and sweet, yeah.
Short and sweet. We'll move right along to a lovely song and the songs.
Yeah. We give Yah praise and honor and thanks for our king, King Yotam, because he did the right thing. Got to give him honor.
Exactly.
We follow after the pattern of his father, King David, and that's what we all should do. Follow the leader.
Exactly.
So tonight, we're going to do another one of King David's songs. Is that the hurricane? No.
No, that's my air condition.
Chapter 70.
Right.
Kind of sound like the wind outside for Ida. For
that's my air conditioner blower.
So we know King David was a mighty man. And where did he get his might from? His source of might was Yah. He always, each and every time called upon Yah in many different forms, fashions, and he wrote it down. So this is another instance where he's calling for Yah's help. Help me, Yah. Help me. Help me. Help me. And we have to do the same thing. When we're in dire straits, when we're troubled, we have to have this pattern like our king, King David. And Yah will hear you. Yah will rescue you. Yah will deliver you. So this is the pattern of King David. And if you want to be successful, I think that you would apply it to yourself, to your life, realistically. This way you get to learn Yah, and you see how he answers us in every situation. And then you can give testimony like our king, King David, is doing here in this 70th chapter of the Book of Psalms. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Elohim, come to my rescue. Yah. Hurry to help me. May those who seek to kill me be publicly humiliated. May those who take pleasure in my harm be turned back and humiliated. And that's for all of us. People trying to hurt us, people trying to kill us, people trying to humiliate us for at least the last 400 years. And what, 402 years?
Right.
May those who say, aha, aha, be turned back of their shameful deeds. because what people are doing to us is shameful. We don't fight every other country we've been in, and we're still begging to vote to be equal partners in this democracy.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. Let those who seek you greatly rejoice in you. Let those who love your deliverance say, may Elohim be continually exalted. Yes. Because if he's delivering you, why not? He's taking you out of your troubles. You got to rejoice. You couldn't do it yourself. You needed his help. That's why we rejoice. That's why we call on him to deliver us. As for me, I'm poor and needy. Elohim, come quickly to me. You are my helper and my deliverer. King David lets you know that. No, ain't nobody else helping him. Ain't nobody else delivering him. It's you, Yah. Yah, please do not delay. So King David has the humility to ask Yah to speed up his deliverance. The Most High heard him because he loved King David. The Most High loves us, but we don't pray like King David. And it's a short prayer, 5 verses. How powerful is this? Yah, come rescue me. Yah, hurry up, help me. May those who seek to kill me be quickly humiliated. May those who take pleasure in my harm be turned back and humiliated because of their shameful deeds. But may anybody that seeks to rejoice greatly in you. Why? Because you delivered them. And those who love your deliverance, how are you going to love his deliverance if you don't know how he delivers?
Right.
If you know how he delivers, you will love Yah. Exactly. May Elohim be continually, because Yah is consistent. May he be continually exalted, because he'll answer your prayer and deliver you when you're in trouble. That's why it's a continual thing. King David let you know, I'm poor and needy. I came, little boy farmer, watching sheep, but the Most High was always with me. I had to call upon him when I had to deal with the bears. I had to call upon him when I had to deal with the lions. So it didn't matter, a giant challenging our nation. I wasn't afraid because I knew that Yah was with me. And when I call, Elohim, come quickly to me. Don't delay. You are my helper. I let that be known. And my deliverer. I'm letting that be known. Yah, please don't delay. A perfect storm for whenever you're in trouble.
Amen. And I have to concur with you, Godfrey. The Most High is certainly your deliverer if you're in a constructive relationship. And you must maintain that relationship, as we found out, King Jotham maintained a constructive and positive relationship with God. And you also must, I mean, both of these study sessions are rather short, very, very, very,
precise to the point.
Yeah, both of them are very study sessions on Kings and Chronicles and the Psalms. Rather short, straight to the point. And I recommend it, perhaps, if your time permits, that you go over both of them and try to glean the best you can from both of these study sessions. But Cartrell, what is your comments before we get out of here?
So, it sounds like Psalm 70 that gives me my internal spiritual strength. Which is why I don't fear COVID, I don't fear man, I don't fear the hood, I don't fear drug dealers, gangbangers, I don't fear anything, because why? I know that Yah is my helper and deliverer. There's nothing that man can do to me, so I don't fear. And these are the type of songs that gave me strength when I was like 14, 15 years old. And I would just, like, I'm a like daydreamer anyway. I would read these psalms and go into daydreams. And it just gave me, it filled me with, you know, so much confidence.
Amen. Amen. It's called meditation, country.
That's what it was. Teachers would slap me in the head and say, pay attention.
But you were meditating on the most important thing in the world.
Yeah.
If I only thank you and appreciate what you were meditating on.
Because I was in my troubles. Trust me, I was in my troubles. I felt like there was nobody. I was alone on an island. Reading these prayers, I knew I wasn't alone.
Amen. Well, fellow students, I hope You have the mindset like Cartier, that 14-year-old boy. He's still that 14-year-old boy in so many words. He's not a boy anymore, but he still meditates on the word of Yah. He still maintains his relationship with Yah. And suddenly you must learn to do the very same thing. Establish and maintain that relationship. Trust in the Most High like a 14-year-old, although you're not. But have that certain trust. Because, as Cartier alluded to, there lies your strength and your hope and your salvation and the righteousness of Yah. It's true. It's certainly true. Well, fellow students, what's that, Cartier?
I was laughing because when you said that 14-year-old boy, I was thinking King David was like 17, 18.
Right.
When he went forth against Goliath.
Right.
But he probably knew Yah around my age or even younger.
Exactly.
But the fact that little Gregory is listening and learning, he's way younger than both of us. I'm like, okay, he's going to be a powerful guy if he really understands what we're talking about.
Yeah. If he meditates on it and applies it to his life, he's going to, as you say, he's going to be a powerful young man and an elder. So that's a good thing. Fellow students, Cartier and I, we don't know much. But we do know this. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening in these study sessions, the Real Talk for Real People show, talking about establishing and maintaining a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Establishing and maintaining a relationship with one another. Establishing and maintaining a relationship with strangers, different nations. They want to have a relationship with you. That being said, you know we love you. May the Most High direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute. It is not working for you. It is working against you. That's why we do these studies. Also, we suggest...
Thank you.